Let me just get right into it this morning. The last chapter of Ephesians, we've been going through the whole book, and I don't want to preach the whole book again, but if you were with us the last few weeks, and last week Robin ended up in chapter 4, we're kind of going to jump chapter 5. There's just too many things going on. But if I just give a recap going back, you know, we talked about this amazing great salvation that God has given to us. And He's chosen us before the foundations of the world. And if you just go through the verses, He predestined us. He adopted us. We've been redeemed. We've been bought by His blood. We've been filled with His Holy Spirit. These are the amazing theological truths that Paul's been preaching all the way through his letter. And then he talks about the church, and he says a few things about the church. I just wanted to read a couple of verses in chapter 1. He says, "And appointed Him to be head," this is Jesus, "over everything for the church, which is His body." And then he goes on, he says in verse 19 of chapter 2, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. And you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." And he says more. He says His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. He's been saying all these things. And then I waxed eloquently a couple of weeks ago about the walk. He lays out this theological explanation, and then he gives us all the practical walking it out. This is how you should then live. Live like this. Don't live like that. Stop these things. And then last week, Robin was speaking about some of that, how we have to overcome, how we have to learn to walk and be like Christ and to grow up and to mature. Paul's prayer throughout this whole chapter, this whole book, was that we would mature, and that our eyes would be open, our understanding would be open, so that we could know God and we could know the things of God. So Paul laid up this amazing book called the Book of Ephesians, and then he comes to chapter 6, and this is where we are today. And he says these words in verse 10. I think they're on the screen. I hope you can read them. Let me read it off for the... Anyhow, I'll read it out of my... I have the NIV. That's the ESV. But it's very similar. It says, finally, we're finally getting to the end. Finally. If in order for us to do all the things He's just preached, in order for us to live the faith and the things in chapter 5 that I didn't even talk about, marriage and children and our bosses, he uses bond servants, and some of the practical things of life that we haven't preached on out of this book. But in order for us to live this Christian life out, he says you're going to have to know something that's going to be a battle. We're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to be serious about it. And he says in verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I like how it is up there, in the strength of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. It's His might. But He challenges us to be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. He says this, put on the full armor of God twice in these verses. And I underlined it. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's one reason we need to be armored, why we have to have our gear on in order to live this Christian life, in order to have victory, in order to go through this life as Paul has been praying in this book that they would. He says, because there's a devil who has schemes. He's got methods. We're not ignorant of his methods. We're not ignorant of his plans. But he said, we have to put on our armor. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, he says it again, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Talking about the day we live in. So we have the devil to deal with, and we have the evil day. We have the depravity, the sin, the situations that are going on all around us that we have to deal with. And then he goes on and he says, now put on this armor. You can just put up the next verses, and I won't take the time to read it. Father, I pray this morning that you would bless your word. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for Jesus, who's already won the victory for us, who's already put our feet on solid ground, that when we put our faith in you and our trust in you, you delivered us from death and hell and the grave. You delivered us from sin. And I pray this morning that we would live in some of that. And as we look at this chapter, Father, may your words speak to us. May we be wise. May we be have our eyes open. May our understanding be quickened this morning to know what it means to live as Christians in the world that we live in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you want to just put the next, I think I have it on there. No, one back. There's a, no, maybe it's not on there. I'll read it off of here. I have this quote that I wanted to quote. I thought I put it on there because keep going one more. No, never mind. Sorry. My bad. It's an example of being a sportsman or not being one, being a spectator. And I'll start at the end. It says, only the strongest can survive as spectators. Think about it. Only the strongest can survive as spectators. Even the least fit person can participate in a sport. That's what gives me hope. Even I can participate in a sport. But when you become a sports spectator rather than a participant, the wrong things happen to your body. I'm also an example of that. Your weight, your blood pressure, your resting heart rate, your cholesterol, your triglycerides go up. Vital capacity, oxygen consumption, flexibility, stamina, and strength go down. Your knees start to hurt. 60s, your knees go. I don't know what it is. It's a lie. But, so what he's saying is, the conclusion is, only the strongest can survive as spectators. Amen? So in the Christian walk, the Christian conflict, the Christian battle that we are involved in, that Paul warns us of, that Paul challenges us to be ready for. If you decide to just be a spectator, you better be fit. You better be loaded for bear, as we say. You better be ready. Because a spectator, everything that should be going up is going down, and everything that's going down that should be going down is going up. It's when you just put yourself out of the battle and say, I'm just a spectator in this thing. That's when you're going to need every bit of wisdom, every bit of strength, every bit of power you have. Because I'm telling you, the enemy's coming for you. And if you think you're just innocent and you're just, you know, kind of a watching on the sideline kind of person, you'll get taken out quicker than anybody. You know, we've often used the saying with my wife, because she always wants to walk and she always wants to exercise and she's on me about diet and things, you know, just terrible things like that. And I always say, you know, I don't really want to exercise because I don't really want to wear my body out. You only get one body and it's better to just take care of it and preserve it. So I don't walk and I don't exercise that much and I don't bend that much. I think you get the point. She was a dental assistant as well. She always used to say, only brush the teeth you want to keep. There's truth there. So where are you at in this battle? Where are you at in this walk with God? And Paul says, finally, brothers, put on your armor. Wake up. Like I could take you through many, many scriptures where Paul is just challenging the churches to wake up, to come alive, to smarten up, to see with the eyes, to have their understanding open, to know what the days are like, to be involved, to participate in this life. Because when you step back and you say, I'm just a spectator, you're in trouble. This week, I could quote people who said to me, why is this happening to me? Why me? And my first point is, you can put it up there, is folks, the struggle is real. You got to realize we're in a battle. Why not you? Why not me? You shouldn't be surprised when these things happen, when these fiery darts come, when the enemy attacks. These things shouldn't surprise us as Christians. And it's sometimes when we've decided to follow Jesus is when the enemy puts us in his sights and he decides to take us out. It's when we say, I'm gonna be a good husband. I'm gonna serve God. I'm gonna lead my family. Get ready for a fight. Get ready for resistance. Get ready for opposition. So it is a real fight. And I gotta keep moving here. The enemy is real, the world, the flesh, the devil. When we talk about the devil, we talk about his methods, and that's what the schemes, his plans. We talk about the day of evil, we're talking about the perversion, we're talking about the world that we live in, the spiritual climate that we raise our kids in, and the situations that we find ourselves in. That's the day that we face, and it's a dark day. That we often use the word dark. It means uneducated, it means spiritually challenging, it means that evil one. It means a lot of things throughout Scripture. We live in a day that is dark, and we are to be the light. We are to be the ones who shine brighter than anyone else. And I would say this, when you say, why is this happening to me? I want to tell you, we're all being challenged. We're all being faced with battles. And I said it already, but why not you? See, God has done his part, Paul says, but now we are challenged to do our part. We are challenged to put on our armor, put on Christ, to put on Christ's likeness, to show forth his life in this world that we live in. We have to do that. The devil is real. He has power. I don't want to make more of him than I need to, but I get concerned when people just, they're surprised by the devil. They're surprised by sin. They're surprised by what the world is doing to them, what the world's doing to their family, what the world's doing to their marriage, what the evil day that we live in is challenging everything we believe, everything the Word of God stands for, everything that God has spoken. The enemy is against it, and he's fighting it. So, as the Bible says, he goes about seeking whom he may devour, the enemy. He's busy. The second thing is, it's a spiritual battle. It's not against flesh and blood. If you see flesh when you see an enemy, you're wrong. If you're seeing a person, if you're seeing someone, you're seeing people, you're in the wrong battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. We wrestle against the devil. I'm coming back to that, into his cohorts. And it says this in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the word steal, we get our kleptomaniac from klepto, the kleptomaniacs. We get that from that word that's used right there, describing the devil. He's a kleptomaniac. And what that means, if you just go look it up, it means they steal just for the sake of stealing. There's no need. They're not stealing because they have need. They love to steal. They steal. And if you want an example of it, I've seen it even recently. Famous movie stars stealing clothes in Hollywood and getting caught. It's like they could buy it. They don't need it. But there's something in them that needs to steal. And that's the devil. He is a kleptomaniac. He's come to steal. And he will not quit stealing, and he will keep on stealing, and you can't understand it. Why? When's enough? And he won't stop. And to kill literally means to butcher and to slaughter. It's not a pretty word. He's come to steal, to kill. He's come to rob. He's come to butcher and to slaughter, to destroy you. He doesn't just want you sick. He doesn't just want you slowed down. He doesn't just want you to back off and be out of the game. He wants you killed. He wants you finished, and he wants your kids finished. And if we are not alert, and if we're not having our eyes open, he is cunning. He is a sly old fox. It's a good Sunday school song. He is the devil, and he wants to destroy. And the word destroy just means to render unfit for use. That's the devil's plan: to steal, kill, and destroy, to make you unfit, to slaughter you, to rob you of everything, every joy, every aspect of life that's good, everything that God promises. He wants to come and steal it and rob it and destroy it. And he's a liar. There's many words that are used for him: accuser of the brethren. He's a slanderer. The word Satan means adversary or someone who comes against. And Revelation, it talks about the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who accuses them before God day and night. And you know many scriptures where Daniel's prayers were hindered and the enemy, and we could go on and talk about more of that. But there's a whole legion, there's a whole spiritual world that's against the kingdom of God and against you as a believer and against my life, against your marriage, against your family, against your joy. Whatever area of life you want to talk about this morning, there's an enemy who would like to rob us of it. But the Bible says, like back in Zechariah, it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by spirit, says the Lord. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle that we're facing. And he says in Corinthians, for we walk in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And he says it in many other places. Peter says that, behold, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which war against your soul. So we have this spiritual battle that's going on. We can't overcome it just with our minds, with our own choices. We need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit's power. We need the equipment that God gives for us. Let me move quickly. Three, it's personal. It's a personal battle. No one can fight this battle for you. No one. Your grandparents, thank God for them. They've been praying for you. You have got to decide if you're going to engage in this battle or not. If you're going to stand up and fight this battle, it's for yourself, for your own life. Your mother can be praying for you. And you're making the worst decisions of your life. It's your life. It's your battle. It's your choice. And the fourth, it's continual. It never ends. Let's move along. Five, it's a battle of the mind and the heart. It's where I started out saying schemes, forces of evil, depravity, perversion, whatever translation you want to use. I like this verse. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 16 says this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers. See, when we talk about spiritual warfare, we talk about this battle and putting on armor, and I'm sure you've heard many, many sermons, and you've every kind of examples that there could be, but all I want to say is, maybe I need to say this, everything we're coming to, all the armor, all our weapons are going to deal with our character, are going to deal with us, are going to deal with who we are. And we need the weapons, we need the tools that will help us. See, having a conference dealing with spiritual warfare and marching around the city is good. We can go out and we can pray. You can cast the devil out of the city. Every prayer meeting I've ever been at, they cast the devil out of Edmonton. They resist him all over. And people aren't changing. Spiritual warfare is not out there somewhere. That's what I'm trying to say. Spiritual warfare is here. It's in our hearts, in our minds. It's in our emotions. It's the challenge here that we need to overcome by living righteous lives. It's what Robin preached last week. Get the recording. It's Christian life is lived out day by day, moment by moment, decision by decision, choice by choice. Attitude by attitude, a choice this morning that I'm going to worship God, a choice today that I'm going to be joyful, a choice today that I'm going to be grateful and thank God today. That's how we win the battle. Yes, we do need to resist the devil, but you know, you don't go out on the streets resisting thieves. Where are they? But you wait, if they come to your door, you resist them. The enemy, when he comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. Then we resist him. We resist him in our minds. We resist him in our hearts. We resist him in our relationships. We don't allow him to get in between us and our friends and family. We fight those spiritual battles at that level. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a battle of the heart and of the mind. Until we grow up and mature, overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and make good, godly decisions and walk in the light and not as the Gentiles and all the things that Paul has been preaching up till now, we haven't even started the battle yet. We haven't even got involved yet until we start doing that. One other point about the devil, and I'll move on from him, but his power is counterfeit. He's already knows his time is limited. He knows he's been destroyed. But he's doing everything that he can to confuse, to oppress, depress, possess everybody that he can while his time is short. And he only has as much power as we give him. He only has as much power as we allow in our lives. And so that's where we need to resist him. That's where we need to stand against him with this armor that I'm coming to. And the last one is we need to fight this fight with the right equipment. So let's look at it. The armor of God, just for a few minutes. He says this. Put on. The first three, he says put on. It's put it on and never take it off. Some of the other ones later, he says take up, and I'll get to those. The shield and the sword and the prayer. But these ones he says put on. And the first one is the belt of truth. And he's talking about absolute truth. Put on truth. Put it on. Wear it. Arm yourself with it. The enemy's going to come against you with lies. He's going to come against you with everything he's got. And the very first piece of armor that you have on, you need to gird yourself with, is truth. And don't take it off. And when I say absolute truth, I'm talking about God's word. I'm talking about God's truth. John 17:17 says this. Firstly then, character and integrity. Sorry. John 17:17. Go ahead and read it. I didn't write it down here. He says, his word is truth. And he says, we put that on first. We have God's word as truth, as the basis for everything else. Then we live from their truthful lives. Then we have integrity and we have honesty and some of these things that have to flow out of us. But he says, first of all, put on the truth. And it hit me this week that when you don't have truth, I guess it was last week, but when you don't have truth, you don't have any authority. You don't have any power. You don't have any authority to speak to your kids if you don't have basic truth. The way that John Finocchio, who's coming next weekend with his wife Jan, it was his son speaking at our conference in Ontario. But he was talking about having principle over peripherals, having the truth. And when you don't have truth and you just chase after peripherals, you chase after issues, but you don't have the principles. I liked his comment. He said, people start listening to the smartest person in the room. And he was talking about the internet. You listen to the smartest person on the internet. If you don't have any truth to base what you're talking on, then whoever's the smartest in this room will dominate the conversation. And you'll see it on the news. You'll see it in the media. You'll see it on social settings. Guys just lose their mind and go off. And there's no basis. There's no soundness for it. So he was talking about principles over peripherals. Says, okay, let's bring up a few light ones. How about gender? How about homosexuality? How about some of these, you know, just light issues that the church has to discuss? But the point being that you got to come back to what is the principle of God's word? What is the truth of God's word? Then we can have a discussion. And we're talking to Christians. We're talking to people who have God's word as the foundation of their life, who've put on the truth. Then we can have a discussion. If there is no foundation of truth, no matter what you're talking about, you have no authority. You have no power. You have no ability to speak to your kids. I see it all the time with parents and their children. They've given up their authority. They've given up their power. They have no consistency. They have no strength. They have no authority because they haven't got a basic truth in their life. They're not living it. They're not expecting anyone to. And then they can't, you know, it's like our friend used to say, human authority is like soap. The more you use it, the less you have. You're just using and using till you got none left. I've told you 1,000 times, you know, that picture. We as churches, we have gone off many times on our peripherals. We've gone off on the issues, chasing down things. And we need to just come back. What's the principle of God's word? What's the truth that's going to guide my life? That's going to gird me. That's going to keep me no matter what. That I'm going to hang all the rest of this armor on. What's God's word say? Let's go back to his word on any issue that comes up, whether it's marriage, whether it's raising children, and Paul's been dealing with those things, slavery, just light things, in the book of Ephesians. We have that as our basis. He says, breastplate of righteousness, talking about the righteousness of Christ. And then from that might flow us living righteously. From that flows us living good lives. It's not start with good lives. It's put on Christ, put on His righteousness, put on His truth. And that is what's going to guard you and guide you and give you guidance for the rest of your life. The shoes of peace, putting on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, having your feet shod, having a firm foundation of the gospel, being ready to share it no matter where you go. He says, put these basic armors on. Then he ends it with this. He says, take up the shield of faith. Use your faith in any situation. Hold up the word of God and what God says and stand behind it. When the enemy comes in or when situations happen, you hold up your shield of faith. And it's basically putting your trust in what God says, putting your trust in that truth, putting your trust in His word and shielding yourself. And I love the picture. And you know, if you ever watch the old Roman battles and they'd come with their big shields, the Romans weren't so stupid. Their shields were like doors, you know, big things. If you could carry those things around, you were a strong guy. But when they put those shields together, they could stop chariots. They could stop cannonballs, and then they would cover them. And so the point being, we each have a shield. But when we come together and we put our shields together, just think of the power we have, the protection we have over families, over churches, over people, as we use our armor, as we use our shields, as we use our faith. What's God saying? It's why we pray together in the front like this, just to encourage one another, to bless one another, to stand with one another. It says the helmet of salvation, our expectation of salvation. Hold our heads up high. Walk in something of the promise of salvation, knowing who you are in God. Do you live in that? Do you live in the knowledge that you belong to God, that you're His? And then he says, the sword of the Spirit. I like this definition, using parts of the Word, using Scripture to defeat the devil, like Jesus did. Jesus came, the devil came to Jesus, he overcame him with the Word. He spoke the Word. Use the sword. The word of God is a sword that we can fight with and win battle with. And then he says, pray in the Spirit. The gift God gives His children is the power of the Spirit in our lives to overcome. I just want to conclude by reading. I'm going to ask the band to come. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'm just going to go back into the chapter just before this final conclusion that Paul shares. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time. Redeeming the time. Buying the time. Time is precious. Making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's Paul's prayer, and that's my prayer this morning, is somehow God would quicken us again. He would waken us again to stand together, to fight for one another, to fight for the lost, to fight for those who don't know Christ. See, when you talk about spiritual warfare, spiritual conflict, it's not just us huddling somewhere. It's not just, this is where what I want to end with, is it's not just us protecting ourselves, huddled in a corner somewhere. Oh, the devil, and oh, the gates of hell, and oh, you know, it's actually the opposite. We are called to invade hell. We are called to plunder hell and populate heaven. Good old evangelistic saying. We are called to, you know, the gates of hell shall not prevail. That means they won't hold back the church. We are the ones who are supposed to be advancing. We are the ones who are supposed to put on this armor so that we can stand in the evil day, so that we can deal with the methods and the schemes of the devil, and then we can take ground for God. We are called to advance. We're called to be an army. And Ephesians talks about a church and a body and an army and a marriage and all these pictures is to produce, it's to overcome, it's to live godly lives, not just survive. Not just survive. God didn't call you just to survive, just to make it to heaven. God's called us to live abundant lives. He's called us to overcome. He's called us to defeat the devil, to defeat the spirit of the age that we live in. And if I could sing it, I would sing the good old hymn from way back. I should have some of the old timers. They're all sitting in the same row right there. Except for you, Nick. But you fit in there pretty good. Walking in the mountains, singing hymns. Remember this hymn? Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. We have to believe that. We have to believe that when we stand here this morning, that we have authority. That we have girt ourselves with the truth. That we have put on the breastplate of righteousness. Christ's righteousness is what protects me. When the enemy comes to me and lies to me, I don't go at him with my righteousness. I say, Jesus, answer the door. Deal with this devil. Deal with this lie. We hold up our shields. We have our feet prepared and shod with the preparation of the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news is the picture. We are God's soldiers. We are God's people. Taking the nations for Jesus. It's not just to survive. And we are better together than on our own. We can stand together. We can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. And Lori was thanking the ladies who help her on the Tuesday afternoons. There's no glory in it. There's no pay in it. But if I hear her testimonies every week of the people whose lives are touched, those students, all from all over the world, we can make a difference. We can make a difference for our kids, for our families. Mothers, don't give up praying for your sons. Thank you for that testimony this morning. And we shared it in the prayer meeting. People are desperate. They need us to be able to stand there and bring life. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. He's a good liar, but he's a liar. He's got all these schemes, but we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant. And the days we live in, Paul calls them evil. He calls them days that there's a lot of depravity, that's what the word means. There's a lot of stuff going on. And we need to be strong. We need to stand up. And we need to stand together. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we cannot fight the devil on our own. We need Christ's strength. We need God's help in our lives. And then we need each other. My prayer is this morning that to somehow, as we just remember the crucifixion, we remember the blood of Jesus, remember what God did for us, that we'd hear Paul's words. And he says, brothers, be strong. Be strong. Put on the armor. Put on your armor. Let's pray together. Would you just imagine with me this morning, you're getting ready for a battle. Just close your eyes for a moment. Use your imagination. You're getting ready for a battle. The old-fashioned type where men and women had to walk onto a field and face each other, face an enemy, eyeball to eyeball. and you start putting your armor on, one piece at a time. And you hang the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and you cover your feet, you prepare yourself, and you have your shield of faith, and you have the Word of God. You have that helmet of salvation over your mind to protect your thought. You're putting each of these on, and you're ready for battle. That's what we're called to do. And at the same time, was keep imagining with me somebody showing up in a battle with nothing. No preparation, no skill, no armor, no thought, just random. They're going to be destroyed. Father, this morning I pray for every father and every mother, every young person, every child that's in this building. God, I pray that we would prepare ourselves for the battle that's raging around us, for our minds, for our hearts, for our spirits. God, I pray this morning that you would come and clothe us. You would fill us with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would take up that call of Paul to pray in the Spirit, to pray for one another. He says, pray for me at the end of that chapter. Pray for me that I'll have boldness to preach the gospel. God, help us to pray for one another today, to pray for one another. I pray in Jesus' name for this church. I pray even as this week coming, we prepare for our guests from Ontario, John and Jan. Lord, I pray the enemy would be defeated in people's lives, that there would be a quickening in people's hearts, a hunger for the things of God in my heart. And Lord, I pray that as we've already prayed this morning, that we would be willing to share the gospel. We would be prepared to take the gospel into a needy world that needs Christ.